It seems sort of cheap and suspicious. You know, it's suspicious to a skeptical mind. It is suspicious. And my mind has always been skeptical. It bugged me. And I've gotten over my suspicion, basically, the feeling that God is not trying to impress man or in trying to please man. That's not why he did the miracle. He did the miracles to testify of Christ in that time. And Christ had to be crucified in that time. And when he was taken away, those things went with him. And I'll tell you what, for those who look for another miracle ministry in the end times, it's not going to be a healing. And I mean, there'll be some healing, as there were in the days of Elijah. But the ministry will be more like Elijah's, with blood and fire, pillars of smoke, drought and famine, and fire from the mouths of the prophets to devour their enemies. That is not going to be as it was in the days of Christ. There's going to be a different spirit going forth. And that's why many will stumble at it. Because the characteristics, and this is just how God works. When the Pharisees and Sadducees, when Christ came, he came in this peaceful ministry that frustrated them. Because they wanted them to rise up against the Romans. You know, they wanted them to fight and to do, even his disciples wanted him to call down fire and destroy the villages that received him not. Like Sodom and Gomorrah, and he even mentions them in this passage, right? They wanted these things. He said, you don't know what your spirit you're of. The spirit they were of at that time was the time of, was as you read of it in the Gospels. But when you read in the book of Revelation, I don't see that spirit. I don't see that ministry. And in the meantime, yeah, it looks like there's nothing. It looks like God has disappeared. From the perspective of the world, from the perspective of people who know not God especially, he's disappeared. And I know some people, they say, well, Paul, how can you say such things? You know, I believe in Jesus because he's living in my heart. And I know. But I tell you what, before I received the Holy Ghost, I really felt like I felt very alone and without the Lord. He never really touched me. You know, I had things I felt were, emotional things that had happened and feelings and this. But until I received the Holy Ghost and I had a physical manifestation where God's power came on me in a bizarre way, at least a very singular. It was different than anything I'd ever experienced, where it testified to me, God is real. His power is real. He is present to help. Until that day, it was a lot easier to be skeptical. It was a lot easier to be unbelieving. And that's the way the world is. That's the way God has it. God is not, it's funny, all these apologetics things of how, it's more reasonable to believe, is it? I'll tell you what, if my faith is in something that I already see and that's already obvious, then it's not faith anymore. But just certainty. Absolute certainty. But anyone who knows logic knows that really there is barely anything that is absolutely certain. You know, we think gravity is absolutely certain, but we don't know that if we test gravity tomorrow, it might not work anymore. It might fluctuate and change. Oh, that's nonsense. No, really, we don't know for sure. We're not certain. And so I know snide and narrow-minded people are going to think, we know. It's like, you believe because you haven't seen it yet. You don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. Well, I know. Well, you know. You think you know. But nobody really knows. That's a fact. That's certain. But I don't look for miracles. I look for the small miracles of my life that help me get through life and become more like Christ. I look for the miracles that deliver me from sin. Those are sufficient for me. I want the grace of God. The grace of God ought to be sufficient for us who are his followers. For others, God does not want to testify in miracles because he doesn't want to bring in harvests of people because he has no one to work anymore. You know, there's so few workers out there who could really bring in a harvest. You know, and the harvest of the wicked is all thorns and fit to be burned. Verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town you shall enter into it, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. And when you come to a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And so, whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say to you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So he says, go into a city and find out who the worthy people are. And go abide with them. Now imagine doing that today. Who's the most worthy man in the city? And go and abide? Yeah, we don't have much hospitality anymore. Especially in this country. Very isolated. You know? You walk up to someone's house and they're like, what do you want? You know, very difficult in this culture. Like I said, a lot of these things, I don't expect to do this stuff. I take my wallet everywhere I go, you know, because I'm not on the journey of the apostles to preach the gospel that the kingdom of heaven is present and at hand. Oh, yeah, it's present within me, but I haven't been given a special commission. I'd like a special commission to go forth. I would. And someday I suppose I'd get it. And it'll probably be more than I bargained for. But hey, I asked for it, right? You know, but these things... You look at the circumstances, yeah, God can demand it of us again. God can send forth apostles again, but he hasn't sent any forth in our day that I've ever met. I've never met an apostle with these works and this testimony. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Who's worthy of an apostle? We're apostles. Worthiness is relative, right? None of us are worthy of the calling we're called with. But we pray that God would make us worthy. That God would find me worthy in spite of myself. He's worthy. Because he's worthy because he's going to hear the words of God. To receive the apostles and to hear what they have to say. That is what it means to be worthy. But if they will not receive you or hear, you shake off the dust of that place. Don't even want the dust on your shoes. And it's funny, I love when people say to me and stuff, well, I get in an argument with someone, they'll say, well, I'm going to shake the dust off my feet at you. You know, I'm like, boy, you know, thanks for giving me the Sodom and Gomorrah treatment. You know, to me, it's a matter of arrogance, like, oh, yeah, I'm an apostle. I don't shake the dust off my feet at people because God did not make me an apostle. Careful how you use this word, you know. Some people... really don't know what they're doing.